Institute, based at the Morgan City location, as well as our Shepherd Square. In his spare time, Rashad enjoys playing slow pitch softball. He's a very good pitcher. So, I mean, he looks the part. He looks like he's probably about 4'2", 40 still. So, hopefully you guys get a lot of good information out of this. It's really fun and a monster for everybody. So, I'll turn it over to Rashad, and he's got it for the next half hour or so.
You guys hear me?
All right, sweet.
Alrighty. How's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
Hopefully, you guys will get something out of this. Hopefully it's entertaining and some good take home. But before we get into the actual presentation, I'm going to give a little story before we point this thing at. Okay, here we go. My first encounter with Bob Marley. So, of course, you know Bob is an athletic trainer. Covers mainly their smaller towns, which I'm from. So, anybody know about Bowling, Texas? We got a few. All right, go Bulldogs, yeah. So, Bowling, very small town, population, which I just looked up, is around 1,432 people. But they're probably Romigan, Iago, Nuga, those smaller towns around there. But also, Bowling is known for Mox Restaurant, if you guys know where Mox is. And also, their one and only stoplight in the whole town. So, a very small town. But my encounter with Bob was back in 2003. I was a senior on the football team. And small 2A school, of course, you had to play both ways. So, offense, defense, also special teams. Some of you guys may know about that. But I remember cramping around the third or fourth quarter. And I remember Bob giving me a drink. It was orange. I remember him shaking it up. I'm not exactly what was in it, but I just really remember that it was very bitter and very salty, of course. So I don't know if it was just pickle juice mixed with Tang. Who knows what Bob gave me. But anyway, it worked. But I want to thank Bob, though. He had a huge influence on my career path as far as where I'm at today. He may not be in the room right now. But I do want to thank him for that and also thank him for this opportunity. But let's go ahead and get into it. So, topics to discuss. Benefits of Olympic weightlifting. To Olympic weightlifting or not, when to implement Olympic weightlifting. We're going to talk about the pull. Also, ditching the bar, maybe some alternative exercises for Olympic weightlifting if your athletes are not ready for it. But Olympic weightlifting has been around for many centuries. I'm not too sure exactly where it started. I mean, different countries are going to go back and forth who were the originators of it, but it is a very popular form of exercise here in the U.S. now, thanks to CrossFit, but which is a good thing. Lots of pros and cons to Olympic weightlifting, but some of your primary exercises when you think about Olympic weightlifting. We got your power clean, your hang clean, power snatches. We're doing push presses, high pulls. Also, some athletes are starting from the box, depending on the skill level, and also the height of the athlete, and I'll get into that a little bit also. But some of the supporting exercises, which I really should have put prerequisite exercises, because if these athletes don't have a good foundation of strength, if they're not able to do the supporting exercises, surely they're not going to be able to do, well, not going to be able to perform the Olympic style exercises with the barbell. So the athlete first needs to know how to front squat, know how to overhead squat. I'm sorry, not overhead squat. Overhead squat is another one. But also RDL and RDL, also military press. But benefits of Olympic weightlifting. I mean, Olympic weightlifting is basically from toe to head. So a lot of muscles involved, just about every muscle is involved. So with that, I mean, of course, it's a great metabolic training. You're expending more energy, you're going to burn more calories. Also, it's good for increasing power production. And a huge plus because we have so many things going on today. It also doesn't require much time. I know for a lot, maybe in a high school situation, where I think most of you guys may be right now, of course, you guys have a certain amount of time allowed it. As far as weight training or with the students, period. So it gives you an opportunity if those athletes are there at that level to maybe get in maybe 30, 40 minutes and spend a little bit more time on the field or on the court, wherever they may be at. All right. So Olympic weightlifting versus plyometrics powerlifting, there are many different ways to get your athletes better these days as far as athletic ability. But research has shown out of these three, Olympic weightlifting has shown the best as far as power production. Not only power production, this is looking at counter movement here, but also in your 5 meters, 20 meters sprint ability, and then also your horizontal jump, which is going to be more likely your broad jump. So looking at those three, I mean, they're all good, but when the options of which one's going to give you your biggest bang for your buck is going to be Olympic weightlifting. So to Olympic weightlift or not, like I said earlier, why are the pros and cons when it comes to Olympic weightlifting? And not only Olympic weightlifting, we're talking about resistance training also. Nonetheless, if you're active, I know previous speakers, they spoke a lot on injuries, whether it be spine, whether it be knee. There's always a chance of an injury, nonetheless. But research has shown, and it's kind of back and forth, but Olympic weightlifting actually being one of the safest forms of resistance training. So, a couple of reasons, well, a few reasons to Olympic weightlift or not. Like I said earlier, full body exercise, great way to increase power output. Improves functional skills, like I spoke on earlier, as far as kind of movement jump, 5 to 20 meter sprint ability, also your broad jump. I mean, it's going to have a greater translation to the actual sport, opposed to just your basic resistance training with plyometrics. Also, cardiovascular improvements. Research out by Sloan showed a 12-week base test as far as comparing Olympic weightlifting resistance training actually showed an improvement as far as decreasing resting heart rate, also resting blood pressure. So, a lot of improvements as far as with Olympic weightlifting. Also, improved body composition. Very similar research showed that there was also an increase, 6% increase in lean muscle mass. Also, compared to regular resistance training. And like I said earlier, big workouts in a short amount of time. So you spend 30, 45 minutes, and basically you got a full body workout. Couple bad reasons, which we see often, possibly in gyms, possibly in a high school setting, wherever you may be. But everyone wants to stand out. So some may perform some form of Olympic weightlifting just to be cool. Or maybe they want to get into the group and maybe socialize with their friends a little bit more. Or maybe in another sector where Olympic weightlifting is kind of known to be a cult. If you guys kind of get where I'm going, I'm not going to call their name out there. But it's one way. And then also you want to be that guy at the gym also that's known for performing his cool lifts. So, checklist that I typically go through before I even prescribe an exercise for the athletes, as far as I have to do an evaluation of myself. So, first of all, am I even knowledgeable about the lifts? I mean, if I can explain to the athlete why we're doing this, or even how to do this, there's no reason for me to even prescribe it to the athlete. Also, can I demonstrate good form and technique? Can I recognize technical flaws? Which is very huge. I mean, typically when you're first given an exercise to an athlete, whether it be jumping, whether it be a bench press, a push-up, things of that sort, very simple things that we may think about, but yet they may actually be lacking the actual neuromuscular ability, also maybe the foundation of strength to actually perform the exercise. So there needs to be some form of possibly a regression. That way we can get the athlete to the next step or get them to where we want them to be, which I touched on also. All right, so who are you training? What are the needs of the athlete? So let's say I'm training a marathon or a triathlete. Typically, I would prescribe Olympic weightlifting, typically because, I mean, they're sports endurance. Now, they do need some form of power force, but there are many different ways in which I can get them there. Also, are they injury free, which is very important. Do they have good functional movement? Are they able to get down into a 90 degree squat? I'm not looking to get below. If they can't, hey, great. And also be able to maintain good form. Do they have time to learn? Which is another big thing, like I spoke on earlier. You guys may have a short amount of time or certain amount of time in which, hey, you know what, for some strange reason, this athlete's just not picking up the exercise right now. And instead of spending 3 to 4 weeks, which you may only have a total of 6 weeks with that athlete at that time, let's go on and do something else to get this athlete better. Is there proper equipment available? Which in most situations, there's going to be equipment available to use as far as a barbell and some plates. Are they coachable, which is very huge. Olympic weightlifting, I've seen it taught from kids down to 8 years old to also adults, maybe in their 50s or 60s, possibly older. So with that being said, it's just all about the mindset of the individual or the athlete. And finally, will it meet their needs? So the pool. So typically at the pool, that's where a lot of power is generated. So what we're looking for there is a triple extension. What I mean by that is the extension at the ankles, the knees, and at the hips. So recruiting the posterior chain, which are going to be your hamstring and glutes, some of your larger, stronger muscles, but highly overlooked muscles also when it comes to training. And kind of getting to know your athlete also. So the individual to your left, he is actually pulling from a box. And certainly the reason being because he's 6'8". So for me, I wouldn't put him on the ground or start the barbell from the ground because he's going to be at a disadvantage. So typically you want the barbell to start about maybe mid-shin height. Athlete to your right, of course, he's much shorter. So it all goes about knowing your athlete and putting them to their best. I mean, setting them up for the best success as far as the exercise. So few basic exercises to start off when we talk about Olympic weightlifting is a high pull. High pull is a great way of following up exercises as far as possibly your hand clean, your power clean, things of that sort. It's just getting the individual used to actually pushing into the ground, recruiting those muscles. So like I said earlier, hamstring, your glutes, the posterior chain, and just teaching them the basic movements which is going to follow up. So to start off, have the individual go from left to right to start off regular position. From there, lowering down to that centric. So what I kind of like to use is somewhat of the rubber band method. So if you were to pull back a rubber band, would you get more potential if you let it go as far as power, if you let it go right away, or if you were to hold it maybe for 20, 30 seconds? Now, of course, you're going to get more power. It's going to fly further if it's held for a short amount of time, if you pulled it back to its full resistance, of course. But over time, if we sit down there, which he is right now, of course, still, but the hamstrings are stretched. So you're actually losing potential for power the longer you stay down there. So that's kind of a little trick I like to use as far as explaining the athlete as far as the rubber band. So the clean. As we see the individual, I mean, somewhat in the middle picture getting that triple extension, like I said, looking at the ankles, the knees, and also the hips. And then finally, last picture in that catch position, forming that rack, which they're going to be at if they're performing a front squat. So going back to basically having those prerequisites checked off before they get to something like this. There's a great picture here kind of showing the different phases of a snatch. Also be the same as a power clean too. So starting off on the ground, your first pull is from knee to about mid quad. From there, transition phase in which you saw the previous picture in which he was starting at. And then going to that second pull to the turnover, which somewhat is that high pull in which he's not catching there, and then finally finishing up in the catch phase. So very complex, but yet can be very simplified. And like I said earlier, if the kid or athlete is coachable, it definitely can pick it up. So let's say for some strange reason, an athlete is not picking it up, and maybe they're not at that level in which they're strong enough to actually handle a barbell or even a training bar. Or it may be in the case where this kid, year before, he was maybe 5'10", he comes back, he's 6'8". Of course, that happens. Well, it may not be that drastic, but girls first do a core course during high school, and at that time, the athlete then is trying to catch up to their body as far as their muscular-wise, trying to get control of all that sort. So, different tools that we can use are dumbbells. You got your hex bars, your kettlebells, medicine balls. Of course, we all have access to one or the other, so very easy to implement these tools. So alternative tools, alternative lifts, sorry, for Olympic weightlifting, you have your hex bar jump. I'm going to show you some dumbbell variations, also kettlebell variations, and also medicine ball exercises. So hex bar jump. Anybody familiar with hex bars? Use them often? Something's good. Great tool to have. Also teaching a kid a deadlift, or maybe that individual may have experienced lower back problems. Great thing about the hex bar, it puts the weight in the midline, opposed to a barbell, which is going to put more in the front of you and cause a little bit more flexion extension. Possibly if an athlete doesn't have a good range of motion to actually get down to the barbell, but a little bit more strain on their lower back. So a tool I like to use, a hex bar. Great way of recruiting power for an athlete that may not be at that point in which they're ready to perform those Olympic lifts. But you see, athlete here starting from the ground, kind of already lifting off the ground, and from there, she's getting that triple extension, puts force into the ground, and jumping. So very easy to coach, very easy to learn. Just about every athlete knows how to jump. We just have to teach them how to land properly. Push press, very simple exercise also. So just going down, lowering the body in that eccentric, and basically dropping with that back half without pressing the dumbbells up. Most of the power, or not all the power, is actually coming from the lower half. Basically, your arms are just basically performing the last movement in which you're doing a military press in some sense. Dumbbell snatch, maybe a little bit more complex, but once again, very easy to learn. And this is also good to use maybe for that athlete that may have some asymmetry, so maybe some imbalances from left to right. Hook them up with a dumbbell or a kettlebell in which they can perform these exercises and maybe bring some balance to the athlete, opposed to constantly training them with a barbell, in which you may have one side going up but the other side lagging because there's just some strength differences there. Kettlebell swing, which we've all seen before. Very easy to use. I like to use a kettlebell swing as a good foundational exercise as far as actually recruiting a posterior chain, teaching an athlete how to get into triple extension. So, very easy exercise to use. Kettlebell clean. Going back to that dumbbell snatch, but first movement is your kettlebell swing, in which they're coming up and actually just now catching it. So teaching them the rack position if they're unable to possibly use a barbell right now. Another tool you can easily use there. Kettlebell snatch, just showing different variations, like we're going to show with the dumbbell before. Kettlebell clean to press, so taking it a little bit step further there, in which they actually get a force, they're cleaning it, and then we're going to actually press it up. So like I said, a good full body exercise, recruiting many muscles. So getting to your med ball. Another very easy tool to use, also get your hands on. We may not have access to kettlebells, like I said, but most of us access to dumbbells, or some type of medicine ball, weighted ball. And of course, if you're working with, let's say, maybe children from maybe, let's say, 6 to 12, this is definitely an easy tool for them to use. I mean, they've basically been using it, somebody's possibly using a basketball or soccer ball as they're growing up. But med ball slam here, as you can see, the athlete's starting off kind of dark there, but kind of in that warm phase where he was early in the RDL, and now going up to triple extension, looking to slam the ball. So activating that posterior chain. Medicine ball, wall ball is another great exercise. So this will be a good crossover for teaching an athlete a push press, or also possibly that clean to press. So athletes typically go down. I know for some they have medicine balls behind them. In this photo here, they want them to squat down to the ball as a recruit, but in some sense, if you're looking to do a push press, you're going to maybe bend 20 to maybe 30 degree bend of your knees. It's not much of a flexion in which you're driving up, but definitely a great way to teach an exercise. And actually, a little story about this exercise. I actually had an NFL player going through rehab, in which we were somewhat at this phase here, and he felt uncomfortable at the time performing the exercise with the barbell. So I had to pull back, and we just started him off with medicine balls. Next day, felt more comfortable. It was more of just building confidence in an athlete that can actually do it, but was able to come back the next day and perform the actual exercise with the barbell. So in some cases where it may not be that confidence factor that the athlete may have, this is a great way to not only build it, but also get them to the next level of the exercise that you want. Another one, med ball overhead toss, which you've seen in many commercials. Nike, when they do run their Spark commercials, they typically, this is one of the exercises that they use, which is a great exercise. 16-year-old tennis player, of course, tennis, a lot of power involved, but do we have the time to actually learn those Olympic lifts? Are those Olympic lifts actually going to benefit her, especially with the tennis racket? Do I want to risk her wrist as far as getting injury? So typically, I would set her up with a kettlebell or medicine ball. Very easy to use. You see she enjoyed it. She was smiling. But to leave off with, so Olympic lift, weight lift, or not. So am I able as a coach to teach the lifts properly? Is it going to fit the needs of my client? Is the risk worth the reward? And then finally, are there alternative exercises that are easier to implement at this time for the athlete? I'm all for Olympic weightlifting. Definitely, as you saw, you're going to definitely get a better workout in a shorter amount of time. But weigh your pros and cons as far as implementing exercises. And that's it.